to legislation about the booster seat or the car seat that your child is actually using. Let me speak to Gráinne Kelly, who's created her own car seat empire, Bubble Bum. Gráinne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
I'm very well, Gráinne. We spoke to you years ago on the TV when you first invented this particular seat that's transferable from one car to another, and it's a very small little blow-up seat. I'm sure you have other interests as well. But you genuinely, you're concerned with misunderstandings.
I absolutely am, and it's crazy how many phone calls we're getting on a daily basis now. And the reason that we're getting these phone calls is because this has been misreported by the media. And it has been extreme misrepresentation. I think what's happening is a lot of the journalists are taking information that they're finding online rather than going to the horse's mouth to get the information. You know, you're not going to go to the butcher's for a haircut, so I don't understand why they're taking the information from the internet instead of getting it from a reliable source.
That's pretty stark criticism of these people who have been reporting in some of the papers about the new legislation. So tell me where the conflict lies.
There is a lot of concern. Parents are thinking that backless booster seats are going to be banned. And then they're thinking that if their child is in a backless booster seat, that they can only ride in a backless booster seat from the height of 125 centimetres. But in actual fact, these changes to the regulation, so it's an existing regulation, and there's a change being made to the regulation only for the manufacturer. So here is what the consumer must do to comply with the amendment to the law. Now, are you ready for this? Because it's so complicated. This is what the consumer has got to do to comply with the amendment. Absolutely nothing. The consumer has to take no action. They can continue buying seats as they have been. And if I explain why it's such a confusion. If, let's say, Frank, you decided to invent a booster seat tomorrow, and we call your booster seat the red booster seat. So Frank goes out. He invents a booster seat and you have to apply for an approval from the safety organisations. So you will apply for that approval, and under that approval, because you are manufacturing or inventing a new seat, you will only be able to have that seat approved to use it for children over 125 centimetres. However, every other car booster seat on the market has already got an approval, so they can continue to manufacture and sell both safely and legally to retail, and the consumer can continue to use the seat that they have both safely and legally. There is no requirement for anybody to go out and buy new seats, and they can make the choice themselves whether they want to buy a high back or a backless booster seat.
So even though you're selling seats, you're telling the families that they don't have to go out and buy new seats. The seats they already have are A-OK, and any future seat that they are considering, if it has been on the market in the past, it's going to meet requirements.
That's correct. And the reason that I'm doing this, you know, we realise there are some kids out there, for example, who, you know, there's some parents that are struggling to afford breakfast for children in the morning. You know, they are not obligated by law to buy new seats. And I'm finding it so frustrating because I think it is really unfair for the consumer.
But are you not more worried that they'll stop buying backless seats full stop, and that's your speciality?
No, because they won't stop buying them, because our seat is pretty different to the regular seat, and that a lot of people buy our seat initially to use for travel. And in actual fact, our sales increased when they started all of this.
And the law is a very important law, however, and any tweaking of it is for the safety of the most important person in that car, that child. So are you cooperating fully with the tweaks in the law, or do you see a lot of it as box ticking?
Am I cooperating with the changes?
Well,
in
are
the
you
law?
Fully support are you question. Fully supportive of any changes in the law?
Well, the changes in the law are for the manufacture of new products, and in actual fact, in relation to backless versus high back boosters, there's a lot of discrepancy there, because a lot of the decisions are being based on crash test laboratory results as opposed to real field data taken from real life crashes. And you know, if you were to Google the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and that's the Centre for Injury Prevention, if you Google the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and look for their booster seat evaluation report, it actually states quite clearly that over 7,141 children involved in crashes aged between 4 and 8 years of age that they were unable to determine the difference in risk between children in high back and children in backless booster seats. What it did, what they were able to determine, is that there was a 45% reduction in the injury rate. But the main reduction in injury rate caused by booster seats is the reduction in the abdominal injury. So all of the children still sustained the same types of injuries, whether they were in high back, backless boosters. The reason for that is that all of these crash tests that are taking place in laboratory scenario, they're removing the safety features from the vehicle for the purpose of the test. So when you're in a real life scenario, your vehicle has side impact protection already built in.
And the spotlight is only on the manufacturer of a new type of seat. The new amendment to the car booster seat law only affects manufacturers of a newly designed or invented booster seat who will be required to gain that safety approval you were talking about before they sell the new product. And you're saying that legally parents can continue to use the backless booster seats after the 1st of March, because this is an important date in relation to this, as long as the seat is approved, and this is the important thing, that it is an R44.04. Is that right? Am I right on that?
That's correct.
Standard safety logo.
Yeah, but for the parents' understanding, in order for the consumer to make that purchase in the first instance, in order for anybody to have that seat on the shelf for sale in a retailer, you have to have that approval before you can sell it anyway. So if it's on the shelf in a retailer, it means it's already got the R44 approval. No retailer can sell them without that.
So you feel that some of the recent tabloid coverage has been scaremongering or sensationalist?
Well, I think it's a marvellous marketing opportunity if you're selling high back booster seats, is what I think.
And there lies your issue with it. You feel that too much of the spotlight is on the benefit of the high back booster seat as opposed to the type of product that you sell and that some of your competitors sell to.
I think that the media hype that's being created is to the detriment of the parent, because they are telling the parent essentially and confusing the parent into believing that they need to replace their seat.
And you certainly don't want people getting rid of what represents a success story for your company, Gráinne. I understand that, because you are right in what you are saying. We've looked at this. You are right in what you are saying. So I can understand your concern. From a business perspective, of course, you've got a concern. If people are only going to buy high-backed seats in the future, that's not going to do the backless industry much, much good. But there is a message there to parents that they've no call. They need not worry. They need not panic. And they can continue to buy the backless seats, regardless of which manufacturer they decide to buy them from.
That's correct.
Gráinne, I think you've raised a relevant issue and maybe put a lot of moms and dads' minds at rest if they have been reading about this new legislation coming in March of 2017. So it's a fair enough point. And I just take a moment or two, Gráinne, just to remind moms and dads who may at this moment be on a school run and Junior is sitting somewhere that he or she shouldn't be. What risks are they taking?
Well, the safest positioning for any child under the age of 13 is in the back seat. So the minute you transition the child into the front seat, you're actually removing their safety, because they're 90% safer in the back. That's a crazy statistic. They're 90% safer in the back. Also, if they are school age, so age between 4 and 11, under the height of 4'9", the regulation will tell you under 135 centimetres, but best practice is actually under the height of 4'9". The child should be riding in a booster seat, and the reason they ride in a booster seat is to prevent the abdominal injuries that are actually caused by the vehicle seatbelt. So the lap portion of the seatbelt penetrates the soft tissues of the child's tummy if it's not positioned correctly across the bony hip part of the pelvis there. So you just need to be sure of the seatbelt positioning on every trip for the child. Always aim to have them in the back seat and always make sure they're buckled up.
Okay. Gráinne, listen, thanks for highlighting it. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Frank.
That's a successful businesswoman, Gráinne Kelly, who developed her own product about 10, 15 years ago when it first came out as a mobile backless seat. Obviously concerned about the coverage at the moment that a lot of the tabloids are highlighting. But what she's saying there is very much in keeping with what we've been checking out when we were looking into it. So if you've got a backless seat, you have no reason to be concerned. Right, 17 minutes past.